You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the U Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby.
And I am Joseph Silverzweig, laid low by rhinovirus, but still in attendance. How's everybody doing?
Better than me, I hope. So nice that you attended class today.
Yes.
Raise my hand. It's a sunny day. Beautiful weather outside.
Finally, yeah.
And Joseph's ill. So we'll see if I can try not to contract whatever it is he's got. But
just drag me along through this hour or 45 minutes of fun here.
Yeah. Dragging shall begin now. So if you don't know, welcome to the show. If you're new to us, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about our quick hitters, some quick stories, talk about the youth schedule. And then we've got some plans to talk Utah basketball, ladies and men's, and our women's and men's. I don't know. If you're offended by that, sorry.
We're adapting to the modern world right now.
And then, of course, we're going to talk some football recruiting with recruiting the second signing day being next week. So we got a packed show to go through, and so let's get on with it. To the youth schedule. So we got some swimming and diving at the Air Force Invitational today in Colorado Springs. There's track and field in Boulder, Colorado. So we got a lot of athletes in Colorado today. We've got skiing in Red River, New Mexico. Lacrosse, the historic first lacrosse match.
Yeah, this is exciting. And have you seen their, you can go on Twitter, you can see them, their unis, their helmets are really sweet. They've got some nice duds.
Yeah, it's sweet. They're playing Vermont. That's today. So support the new lacrosse team.
Go up. They're here, aren't they? They're in town.
Yeah,
go up there. If you don't have something to do, go cheer on the lacrosse team in their inaugural meet match.
Yeah, their first contest ever. Not even, yeah, it's like the christening. Yeah. Are they going to break a champagne bottle on the stadium, maybe?
It's a dry stadium. Maybe a bottle of Martinelli's.
Okay, good point. Well, beyond that, look, today's a busy day. So women's basketball plays Oregon. That's at 8 p.m. They're in Eugene.
Can they avenge the men for their pretty disastrous showing last night?
Well, let's not. I don't know if we should go disastrous.
Well, it felt disastrous in the moment.
There was some bad feelings, and we can talk. We'll talk about that later. And then gymnastics takes on Arizona at the Huntsman Center at 7 p.m. today. So that's all today. Literally, it is a busy
24 hours of sports here.
Yeah, and then tomorrow's just as busy with men's tennis, more swimming. You got the men's basketball against Oregon State, and then Sunday the women's basketball takes on Oregon State as well. So pretty busy.
And the Super Bowl. You might be watching the Super Bowl instead. Who you got? Rams, Patriots?
Well, look, I never pick games for teams that I can't cheer for. Therefore, Rams all the way.
All right.
I will not be picking Patriots and the evil empire.
Oh, man.
It's like cheering for stormtroopers to win.
Or Alabama.
Or
even worse.
Worse.
Yes. That's the same thing, right? You have dead fish coach and too good for their own good.
Cheaters.
Go Rams.
So it's a busy weekend. But, the other quick hitter we got to talk about is some potential news with Michaela Skinner.
Yeah, this is more of a rumor than news. But there is a rumor going around that Michaela Skinner is seriously considering trying out for and competing in the 2020 Olympics, which is really cool. But because it's in February, she would not be competing in the 2020 Utah gymnastics season. I don't know. My feeling is that she'd take a red shirt and that would still have the same amount of eligibility, but I don't actually know that for sure. But it would be, from my perspective, I think it would be awesome to be watching her in the Olympics instead of suiting up for the Utes. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I'm all for
a feather in the cap, right? Regardless.
But look, if she wants to go for the Olympics, all the power to her. Like, go to the Olympics. And if she's really good, she'll come out of the Olympics with a bunch of sponsorships and probably won't be back with the Utes.
That's a good point.
So
right?
That and that's fine.
Yeah.
By all means, the best to all of our students.
She was first alternate or second alternate in 2016. Got jobbed by Gabby Douglas.
Yeah.
Shaking my fist. You can't see it, but it's shaking.
He's
right
shaking
now.
It. It's very
still mad.
No, it's not intimidating.
I'm literally slumped over this table, like trying to hold myself up.
We've got a respirator in here to help him make it through. Darth Vader has entered. But yeah, so just keep an eye out for that. The news, and obviously this is older news, but the Lady Utes are doing really well.
They're crushing it. They're looking so good.
Looking very good. They take out Stanford and Cal last week.
That is the first time they've ever defeated Stanford. So it was a big, big deal. They went from, it was like 24-0 to 24-1. So it might have been 22, but it's somewhere in the low 20s in terms of number of losses. It's the first time they'd ever beaten a perennial women's basketball powerhouse. So it was a really, really exciting win. And a good win where they were. I mean, it wasn't an upset. It didn't feel like an upset. It felt like a battle, and they just came out on top. Won by 7 in the end.
Yeah. No, it was a good win. Very exciting. If you're – I know most of the fan base, and I'm sure most of our listeners are all about football, somewhat about men's basketball, and then, you know, appreciate updates on the other things. But, hey, guys, let's support the Lady Utes. Let's do this.
They're ranked 14th in the country. Yeah. So they are – I mean, they are a real deal team. And you miss an opportunity, right, when you've got a non-revenue team that's performing really well and you just don't pay attention to it. It's cool. And women's basketball is a fun game to watch. There's a ton of technique, a lot of finesse, and they play really well. So, yeah, take some time with it.
Yeah, and let me just say, they've got jobbed on their rankings.
Oh, terribly, so terribly, yes.
To get them ranked in the
although,
top
interestingly, their RPI is low. They're actually ranked below BYU in RPI despite having beaten them. They're 27th in RPI, up from 29th. So they still have yet to impress the sort of mathematical systems here. But, you know, 18-1 is 18-1, and that win over Stanford is a big, big deal.
For sure.
And they, you know, they continue to earn their way up and push their way up. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the whole season for them. And I'm just dying. I'm just dying to see them play the men. I think that would be really fun this year because they're so good. The men aren't as good, and I wonder how. Like, athleticism will win out, right? And they don't have a 7-foot player on their team. But at the same time, they're pretty darn good. And it'd be interesting to watch.
Okay. I mean, I don't know that it would be, but sure.
I just don't know. I guess I don't know enough about the sport or the athleticism difference or kind of what matters in terms of technique and finesse. I have heard some fun stories lately about like pickup basketball games, mm-hmm. and the guys would like try and take on college women basketball players and just get their rear ends handed to them because they're really, really talented.
No, they are talented. They're good ballers.
Yeah, and so it's just be interesting. And I don't know. Just something I've been thinking about.
Well, here's the other thing: is we want to encourage our listeners to support, you know, these non-revenue sports, and even more so, pay attention to the Lady Utes. They're having a great season. It's worth watching.
Yeah.
So, Joseph, who are some players or key contributors that you've identified that, you know, we could give these guys some water cooler talk as the Utes continue to do awesome in the Pac-12?
Yeah, so what's most amazing to me about the team is who's not playing for them anymore. Denisha Provo was their second leading scorer and tore her ACL and is out for the season. And they really haven't missed a beat. It's been very, very impressive since then. Mostly behind Megan Huff, who's putting together a ridiculous season. She's listed as a forward. She's 6'3". Redshirt junior. She's averaging 19.7 points and 9.6 rebounds per game. So she's basically a 2010 player in college. So she doesn't have you know, she's not getting NBA minutes. Now, it's not a 60-minute game, but she's still a 20-and-10 player, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I think she's probably, you know, Exhibit A if you're looking for who to root for. There's also Dreyuna Edwards. I believe Dreyuna is a guard, and she's putting up a lot of points as well. 11.9 points per game, 7.3 rebounds per game. So she's another one to watch. And then let me see here. Kiana Moore, a little bit of a three-point sharp shooter, 38% from three. And how many is – hold on. Sarah Porter, almost 50% from three. That's impressive, over 41 three-point attempts. So, yeah, those are just a couple of names to know. I'd say Megan Huff is the real superstar. Dreyuna Edwards, kind of the sidekick. And then some nice outside shooting talent in Erica Bean and Sarah Porter.
Yeah, no, it's a good talented team. And look, guys, take a chance to watch them, see what you think. No, it is not going to be the high flying dunks of men's basketball. No,
not a lot of dunks.
But let's enjoy it for what it is. Learn to appreciate basketball more, is what I say. But all right, so now on to something I think our listeners really care about is, if I'm right, next Wednesday is signing day once again for football.
Yep.
So
this is the second year now that we have two signing days, and so it feels a little anticlimactic, but it is still a big deal, especially with the Utes slow play strategy that they use, which I think may backfire out of this year, but in general is the right strategy just from an economic perspective. And let's see. So I'll just give a rundown. I would say the most likely signings that you see are Simoto Pippa, who's a defensive lineman, Sione Vaki, who's a wide receiver, and Drew Fowler. Vaki may not have an offer. If Vaki picks up an offer, he'll sign here. And then other names to watch are, I would say, the biggest and most exciting names are kind of in the possible range, like maybe a coin flip, 50-50 shot at landing these players or less, and I'll kind of talk about those odds as we go through them. Those first three guys, they're probably going to side with the Utes. If they don't side with the Utes, it's because they didn't have a signable offer on Wednesday. Then we've got the sort of highlight players. We've got Bam Olaseni. We actually have talked about him a couple of times because he is a all-bus champion. He is a freak. He's 6'8", I want to say 320 pounds, not a lot of body fat on him. He looks like a prototypical NFL offensive tackle. Still has a lot of developing to do in terms of technique and in terms of violence of play. You know, you remember Garrett Bowles gets on the field and people just like lie down because they'd rather lie down than get hit by Garrett Bowles. And he doesn't have that sense, like killer instinct, road grader kind of mentality. But if he signed here, he'd be coming in with, for my money, the best offensive line coach in college football, and Jim Harding, and has a set of tools that you just don't see. So right. It's a very, very exciting prospect. JUCO player, I believe, so a little bit more developed and ready to go. It's just a question of getting him on the field. I think you'd probably see him in the mix immediately for snaps at tackle, just because his physical, he's just off the charts. And then there is the name you've probably heard the most, which is Puka Nacua, who is a younger brother to Samson Nacua. Samson was a relatively lightly recruited player, but has turned into a real asset for the Utes. Puka is not lightly recruited. Puka may be the very best college football player in the country this year. He's a truly elite talent. He's a remarkable wide receiver. He's presently committed to USC. He has visited Utah a lot. He is just finished up a visit to Washington. I would say of these guys, he's probably the least likely. He's just one of these kids that wants to go out of state. That's just how he is.
Look, he committed to USC.
Now he's like, well, maybe Washington. And he just wants something a little different. He doesn't want to be close to home, doesn't want to be on the same football team as his big brother. You don't think he does, though? Well,
you don't think that's a pull? I kind of think he might want to do it.
I think it's a pull and a push, right? I mean, it's
like,
fun.
There's pros and cons, but yeah. I think there's a lot more pros.
But I think you want at that age to sort of, or a lot of kids do, want to spread their wings and make their own mark. And he would worry about that, I think.
Here's the thing I think about it. It depends on family dynamics, and I don't know the family.
I don't either.
As the oldest in my family, I'm sorry, guys. If I were a top recruit in the state of Utah, guess where I'd be going? SoCal. Or somewhere nice and warm in a big city somewhere else where I would go.
Ouch.
So, but I would be like, because I think the older siblings are a little bit, like the oldest specifically, a little bit more independent. They're not drawn to be with younger siblings and whatnot. Yeah. But then you get into the middle, you know, I don't know where things rank or where things are.
Sam, I'm a middle child, and my brother is like, taller than me and better looking than me and richer than me. So I have the kind of little brother vibe with him, relationship with him. And I would never go to the same school if we were or same business, you know what I mean? Okay. Just because I want to do my own thing. And I want, especially when I was 17, I would have felt like, no, I want people to appreciate me for me and not be in my brother's shadow. And now that stuff doesn't bother me as much. But when I was a kid,
when you're younger, you care.
It was tough, and it really mattered to me to not be seen as Zach's little brother anymore. And I think that what's funny about the dynamic here, though, is Puka is a much, much more highly regarded football player.
Right.
Not even close. Yeah. Samson was a borderline Utah offer. And has made the most of it and has been a great player, and the Utes are really lucky to have him. But so the dynamic there is weird because Puka would actually be overshadowing his older brother, I think, a little bit, at least before he stepped onto the field and, you know, some cornerback took him out of his shoes. But
it'd be really interesting to see the sibling.
Would it be fun?
Playing time, right?
Yeah.
The same position.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about the dinners at
same spot on the field too. Yeah. It's not like one's a slot, one's a exterior wide receiver. They'd be competing for snaps.
Yeah. Okay. Well, who else?
Then we've got running back Jordan Wilmore. This is a extremely high quality talent. This would be a major, major land for the
Utes. Wasn't he committed to USC?
Yes, and he's a four-star. He's decommitted from USC. I would say of the ones that we're talking in this group, the most likely to come to Utah. I'm just feeling the vibe there with Jordan.
If you're running back and you're not considering Utah hard.
Well, they've had seven of the last 8 years, they've had a 1,000-yard back. I mean, it's a really, really good place to go. Zach Moss is definitely gone next year, and nobody behind Zach Moss looks like Zach Moss, right? I mean, there's room for a guy who's a four-star, who's a real deal, to take over those 20 to 30 snaps a game. I think it's an attractive opportunity. I think that all of these players are being attracted to Utah by the stability relative to USC, which finally hired an offensive coordinator but has five transfers out of wide receiver transfers and defensive back. And it's just a hot mess over there. And these weren't competing. USC was competing for these players for a long time. So, Then there's defensive back Dorian Hewitt. All you need to know about him is that he's a defensive back, and Morgan Scalley and Coach would think he's good. I mean, that's it. You don't need any other information.
Exactly. That's why Washington and everyone else is following
around.
Yeah,
as soon as – and it's fun. It's kind of fun to watch. Utah will say, oh, here's a zero-star safety in Kansas. We'll offer him a scholarship. And then 2 months later, he's got an Alabama offer, a USC offer, a Washington offer. He's four stars on Rivals. He's five stars on 24/7. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, he's great. And it always starts with that Utah offer because nobody evaluates that talent better than Scalley and Witt. And then we've got some long shots.
To interject, I think that kid could come in and play almost immediately.
Yes.
Because – there's talks
yep.
or things of Blackman going to safety,
uh-huh.
and all of a sudden that kid's starting
yep.
on the opposite side of
No, there are there is playing time to be earned from freshmen if they're talented enough. And there's a lot of talent, but nobody has solidified a role as if they move somebody to safety as a cornerback, or if they don't as a starting safety.
Yeah.
So there's certainly room for somebody with a high enough level of talent and physical development to come in and take a lot of time immediately. And that's part of why it's attractive to DBs. Then we've got some, these guys are unlikely. I think best unsigned recruit in the country right now is probably Henry To'o. He's a linebacker who hits like a ton of bricks. He is Kanape Eliapo's second cousin, I think, or first cousin. You may remember Kanape. He was a starting tackle for the Sugar Bowl Utes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Enoch Vimahai. He is an offensive lineman. I wouldn't hold your breath on either of those guys. But
they're still considering Utah. So
yeah, they're in there, and there'll be hats on the table, and all of this stuff is there's a short game, but there's also a long game. It's about yeah. developing brand, and Utah is continually being on the table and in the edits with the elite recruiting schools for these defensive players in particular is having an impact, and you're starting to see that impact the way people react to Utah offers as being an elite offer and a meaningful offer for a player to get.
For sure.
Yeah, so Simote Pepe, Sione Vaki, and Drew Fowler, and then the other names to watch, I'd say Bam Olaseni, Puka Nakua, and Jordan Wilmore, and Dorian Hewitt.
All right. Now's my favorite time of recruiting is my PSA announcement that, remember, it's just recruiting. Don't go being all upset and tweeting at these kids because they don't choose Utah. That's not what it's about. Be excited for the kids that sign and support them and support the players. But we don't need to be chasing after people who don't.
And remember, it's all a crapshoot anyway.
It is.
And we got Cam Rising. It really is. Like, it's fine. It's all going to be fine. It's just
true.
It's just talent. And you never know whether – you don't know. Is it going to be Bam Olaseni, who's the great one, or one of the other tackles returning from a mission who's going to be great? We don't know. And we'll find out. You know, we'll be okay.
Exactly. So – men's basketball. We talked some women's
basketball. I really wish we'd recorded 2 days ago to talk men's basketball on the heels of a gorgeous 4-game winning streak.
So this is good. And look, I want to talk about two things, or maybe three. Nonetheless, look, the Utes played all right last night. They quickly showed that they don't know how to break a full-court press, and hopefully Larry Kuskoviak and Tommy Connor can get together and figure out how to do that.
I don't know, but I would think that there are things that you do.
Oh, yeah. You know, passing and moving are
passing? Passing. Like, okay.
Here's what pissed me off about the way they were trying to break the press. In that they do this triangle thing, and the players were set up so far from each other, and they were staying so still that it just didn't allow for success. And that was my problem with it. I'm sure things will get better and that they'll adjust. And hopefully we'll see improvement next time. Because let me tell you, the way Oregon pressed the Utes into losing that game.
Everybody's going to do it.
It's coming.
Because it was so obvious what they were doing. And so obvious that the Utes just did not have an answer.
Yeah.
And, I mean... Yeah, it's like a lock and key to solving the riddle the Utes have been giving teams for the last 4 games. So hopefully they figure it out. It sounds like moving around and passing the ball are both good things.
You just got to have some kind of scheme.
Somehow I knew that.
Yeah. I don't know. It was annoying. Look, all of you that were frustrated tweeting out about Larry K being outcoached, you're right, and you're fine to be frustrated. I'm hoping the coaching staff that we're stuck with until 2023 anyway can get it under wraps. I mean, it's the interesting thing. Look, we were all very upset after the no-shows in the non-conference. And we all got really happy after a 4-game win streak and playing really well in conference. But, you know, this game, I feel like this was the game was like, hey, guys, look, fans, yes, we're getting better.
But we're still not.
We're exciting to watch. But let's keep those expectations at a certain level.
Yep.
Yep. And I call this the fan's curse,
where
you root for a team and you keep raising your expectations until you're disappointed.
Yeah.
If you do that, you are a victim of the fans' curse. So if you go into the season last year and you think of the football season, oh man, Utah might win 7-8 games. They might be in the mix for the Pac-12 South. And then they go and they win more games than that. And then you say, oh wow, Utah's really, really good. They ought to win the Pac-12. Well, you've just raised your expectations until you're disappointed. Rather than saying, wow, the U's, I thought they'd win 7 or 8, and here they are in the Pac-12 title game. I mean, that's awesome. And so trying to maintain your reasonable expectations that you set as the Utes were losing games, lots of games in the preseason, and also have lost some games now in conference play, and just remember that they're never as good or as bad as their last performance, and they'll bounce back from this, but they won't bounce up to their, you know, top level production, and it's going to be okay. They're going to continue to improve, and for the most part have been really enjoyable to watch. This was a frustrating game because it wasn't fun to watch.
Yeah, well, you had that the first half where the full court press got put in, and it just got.
And you were like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a nightmare. Yeah. The first quarter, I mean, there aren't quarters, but the first quarter of the game, I thought was really fun, and I thought the Utes were going to cruise. But then they were like, let's just try doing this thing. And it worked perfectly, and they never stopped, and the Utes never responded.
Yeah.
So, but I got a feeling they're going to spend some hours on the practice court here working on this exact problem.
Yeah, no, I expect it'll be directly addressed. I mean, look, the Utes are, tied for third with four other teams. And, Washington's clearly the stud of the Pac-12 right now. And then it's a whole bunch of other teams. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Utah's clearly still got a shot at a first-round bye. And that's what my hope is. Not my expectation, but my hope. But here's the other thing I wanted to point out is it's interesting to see, having gone through the rough part of the season, the cream come to the top in regards to this team.
Yep.
And let me just use – so we'll go with one of my favorite basketball stats, which is your player efficiency rating, very offensive-based. But do you want to guess who our top five players are? In conference. This is in conference. So this is using when the Utes have been playing well.
Okay.
Who do you think
top are in five top in what five? Regard?
Huh?
Top five in what regard?
In player efficiency rating.
Okay. So I am not looking at stats right now. So I'm just going to guess.
That's what I want.
Yep. I am going to have to look at the roster, though, so I get them all right. Don't forget somebody. I'm going to say Sed.
Okay.
That's easy for me.
Uh-huh. He's number four.
Both Gotch.
Number five.
Oh, where'd he go? Donnie Tillman.
Number one.
That was the easy one. Efficiency. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say Jace Johnson.
Yep, number three.
I think people wouldn't guess that, but he's an efficient player. Yeah,
for his flaws, which are real and substantial and probably can't be fixed, he is an efficient basketball player. And that's why he's on the floor, because he can play.
Right.
All right, who's left?
We got one more.
Timmy Allen.
Yep.
Yes!
Good job. You got all five. He's number two. But here's the thing. I wanted to point this out. Is we're seeing look, the freshmen are performing.
I was just going to say, Timmy Allen, freshman. Both Gotchas are freshmen. Yep. So that's two freshmen, and Donnie Tillman's a sophomore. So three of the five are underclassmen who are the most efficient players of the team. And that is a good spot for a basketball team to be.
That player efficiency rating, almost identically. So you see – so I'm looking at more advanced stats here in offensive rating per 100 possessions here. Top players in offense, Bearfield, Tillman, Gotch, Allen, Jace Johnson, same five players, right? You'd expect that. PER or PER is an offensive stat. But let's go to defensive rating. top two players defensively, Jace Johnson, Timmy Allen, and then number four is Booth Gotch again, right? And then Donnie Tillman's at six.
So that means they're playing on both sides of the court, exactly. There, which is really, really nice.
So, and I think what we're going to start to see is those are the five players you're going to see on the floor the most. And yeah, Parker Van Dyke's going to get some time. Batten's going to get some time. Topolovich will get some time. But otherwise, those are your five, and that's who you're going to see on the floor. And so, like you were saying with Jace, we need to accept his flaws and be cool with what he brings, because he is hands down the best defensive rating in our team.
The goal of a basketball game, and this shouldn't come as a shock to any of you, is to score more points than the other team.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert, but you're the expert on basketball here. But that's the goal, as I understand it. And if you play defense well and you're an efficient offensive scorer, you are helping with that objective.
Right.
Even if you're not doing things that people should do or that you expect players to do. But it's ultimately, it just boils down to, you know, is the team better or worse at scoring points and stopping the other team when you're on the floor? And with Jace, yeah, they
he
are.
Does it.
And he does things that nobody else can do on the roster, which is also critical, just from a
right,
you know, from a pure size perspective, he's a vital component of the team in that way.
He is, and look, so let's accept the Utes for the R. You guys have all had your expectations check in the Oregon game, and now we're going to play Oregon State on Saturday, and they're a decent team too. So it'll be interesting. Let's watch how the Utes bounce back, because this might be a good indicator of what we should expect the rest of the season, right? They were doing really well. They got a four-game win streak. They hit the buzzsaw called a full-court press, and they fell apart. Now how do they bounce back with a day's worth of rest and game planning for Oregon State?
That's what I'm interested to see, is will Oregon State roll out the full court press? And if they do, will Utah respond? And it seems to me that the answer has more to do with it's not that they don't know how to respond to it. It's that they weren't putting the energy and effort into executing that response the way that they should have. That they weren't pushing hard enough back on the full court press. And they can do that. They can say, well, that was a disaster. We need to be better than that. Let's work harder and next time we see that on the field, on the court. And, you know, I expect them to bounce back. And then you're going to have games like that, like especially when you're a young team, especially when three of your top contributors are underclassmen. This is something they're not used to, that kind of intense pressure and style of game,
right?
Something they have to learn how to deal with.
Yeah, and I expect they will. We'll see. But yeah, that's what we have for you today. Hope you enjoyed it. Let us know if you have feedback. Email us utalk@gmail.com. DM us.
I really had a blast. I am going to go get a couple of, I don't know, Dayquil or something. Take a nap. But it was fun while it lasted, guys. While I was able to stay conscious, I had a good time.
And until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk. Brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.